Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Small Business Spotlight Podcast. My name is Jay Davis. Thanks for listening to the show wherever you get your podcasts. This month's feature focuses on businesses that have gotten a boost since the pandemic began. There's been a major focus, rightfully so, on businesses and industries that are struggling, but there have been some businesses that have found ways to thrive during such an uncertain time. I spoke with one of the owners of the Eastern Market Brewing Company about a new delivery service started during the pandemic. I also talked to the owners of local gyms and pet food companies about the boost they received. Our guests this month are Rick Klatchen and Julie Everett, siblings and co-owners of Whistle Stop Hobby and Toy in St. Clair Shores. The business, which sells model trains and puzzles among other items, was started by their parents and has been in their family for more than 50 years. Because so many people have been home for the last 16 months, Whistle Stop got a major boost during the pandemic. If it has, how has the pandemic negatively affected the business?
I guess the only negative thing that really happened was the shutdown happened right before Easter last year, and Easter is one of our, besides Christmas, Easter is a big holiday for us. It's a big boost for sales and kind of like gets us over the next hump or whatever you might say. And we kind of lost that last year because people weren't celebrating Easter so much and everybody was home. But luckily, because the pandemic triggered other stuff like jigsaw puzzles and all these things that people were dying to get a hold of. And they're basically banging on our doors and windows, wanting things, even though we were supposed to be shut down. So that helped us get through it. But at the end of the day, we lost that holiday. That would have been a big bump in our sales. But I mean, it made up for it later on because we specialize obviously in things people do at home. And the year that followed ended up kind of more than making up for that. But that loss of that holiday was a big hit.
So how did you handle those requests when you were supposed to be closed?
Well, at first we were here like 3 days a week doing the online orders because they were coming in like crazy, even locally mainly. I'd say 95% of our online orders during that period were for people around here that were already our customers. It was just their only way to get stuff. And then we started doing curbside, where people could order stuff, and people were calling too, right?
Right, and I'm involved with a lot of the groups locally in our community, and a lot of them are reaching out to see how they could get Easter things at that time, or anything. Keep their kids busy and adults busy. So I ended up reaching out and telling them they could email me or contact us through our Whistle Stop email, and we started doing orders curbside for them. They would order it through an email, and then
or calling on the phone too.
Yeah, or calling or phone orders. So we started doing that, and it was just our family working here. We pulled in my nephews and
pulled in whoever can come in, and we were here 3 days a week, and everybody's running around answering phones, running stuff out to the cars, and we made it work. And luckily, our customer base was very strong and very loyal, and they were very worried about us. We all kind of worked together to get through it.
How long were you completely shut down at any point during the pandemic?
No.
So how did a lot of companies were laying people off? Did you have to do any layoffs?
No, we had to, actually, we had to hire more people.
Yeah, but I will say in the initial situation, because of the fear of COVID, no one knew what it was. We did, well, actually all the employees didn't want to come into work for it. I think it might've been about a 2 week period when that all happened.
No, it was 2 months.
Yeah, it was a while where we literally just kept it our immediate family because of germs and keeping it safe and maybe one or two employees, and that we all just made a vow, pretty much stay safe, don't go around it, just so we could always keep the store open, but also keep ourselves healthy.
It's like we kept a core group that just, we did Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 to 4s. And then we kind of put that out on social media and everything. So all of our customers knew that was when they could get stuff or buy whatever. And we all kind of just worked together and got through it. And then eventually toward the end of the shutdown, we started doing individual appointments where a family could make a half hour window. They could come in just their family and get whatever they needed. And then another family could come in. We started doing that for a week or so.
Right.
And then after that, we were able to open up again.
How many employees do you have total?
About 25.
And that's grown since last year?
Yeah, I'd say last year, what did we have? Maybe 15 to 20?
Right.
Yeah, 15 to 20. Now it's 25. We have more people now, I think, than we've ever had in 50 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So with bringing on more staff, did you expand your hours once you were able to open back up fully?
Well, just to our regular hours, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Saturday, 10 to 8, and Sunday, 12 to 5. It's just that what we were finding is we had to, it was hard to find help So we had to kind of go younger than we normally would. Like we usually like 18 and over. So we started going 16 to 18 to bring in people. And we wanted to have extra in case there was an outbreak somewhere or people had to peace out for 2 weeks or whatever. So you had to have a buffer just in case, because who knows what's going to happen. Or we could get shut down again at any moment. All the way up until Christmas, it was a concern of any moment we could get shut down again. So we have to, you know, be very careful.
And I will say with the employment situation, how my brother mentioned how we had to hire more people, a lot of that had to go along with the struggles of trying to find help as well. We try to get people for day shift work a lot. And it was hard for me to hire somebody for the day shifts while school was still in session. But now that when summer kicked off, we ended up going with the 15, 16 year olds, because that was all that was available to work. It was hard to find anybody to come in and apply. So we ended up hiring more of them to cover the hours because they're not supposed to work so many hours. Yeah. So that was also in play, but they've been doing really good. It's been working out.
It's been
really
working
well
out
for
luckily.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much online ordering and shipping have you done the last 15, 16 months?
Well, during the pandemic, during the shutdown, it was a lot. I mean, because we thought that was all we could do until we could implement curbside and that kind of stuff. And then once curbside was more available, I would say like our online orders are very tiny. Like, and we might get like a one or two a day, something like that. The vast majority of our business is people in store. Okay. It's all the people that live around here that support us. And so that's the vast majority of our business has always been in store. The online existence is more or less like we maintain it for our customers because a lot of people like to shop that way. They look online and they figure out what they want to buy, and then they come in and pick it up.
Yeah, everything in our store is on our website.
Yeah.
With people being at home basically for more than a year now, what type of boost have you seen over the last, like I said, 15, 16 months?
I don't know an exact like percentage or whatever, but it's been considerable because, I mean, luckily we specialize in things that people do at home. Jigsaw puzzles were huge in the beginning, and then paint by numbers and pretty much anything hobby related, because right. People were like kind of hunkered down. So like, what am I going to do? And then they kind of rediscover a hobby they used to enjoy, like model building or their model railroads or any of that kind of stuff or crafts. And also, I think one of the main concerns was keeping the kids busy.
Right.
Because the kids were really more at risk than the adults can handle that kind of stuff better than kids. So I think a lot of the parents and grandparents kicked in and were like trying to get things for the kids to do. And luckily, we kind of specialize in all that kind of stuff. So.
And this, I would say this summer too, less people are going on vacation. I feel like usually summer's kind of our slow time and it's been consistently busy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are having family come to visit. And they're doing more things at parks and at home. So a lot of our outdoor activity, things that we sell have been really busy. And things like, I don't feel like it, bringing the kids in for a day here has been really busy.
It's almost like people have rediscovered like old-fashioned
fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like they kind of went back to that. And they're kind of like, and getting the kids away from the screens because they've been on the screens for school and everything else. It's like a large effort to pull them off of those screens and get them doing something with their hands or outside.
I have to say, I really think a positive thing with all of this is families reconnecting.
Yeah.
And board games have been huge. Yeah. A lot of families are getting back into simple board games that we grew up with. And just doing family puzzles together, arts and crafts, the things together. It's really been refreshing to see that kind of stuff happening again.
Was there one or two things, puzzles or anything else that you were not able to keep on the shelves that are just so popular among customers that you're having a hard time keeping them in stock?
Yeah, this whole year has been a struggle to get product. That's been like the biggest, like it's all selling and all that's going fine. It's getting it is the hard part. So
that's supply chain related, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's huge. And it, like there was a model paint shortage all last summer, really all year up. And it's still, there's a shortage of that. Pokemon cards are impossible to get, like Gundam kits. Some of the model kits have been hard to get because a lot of the stuff that comes from, especially from Asia, but also from Europe have just been really hard. Like they come in little batches sometimes. And like where I used to order stuff, like, let's say, give me two of these. Now I have to ask, what do you have? And they'll say, well, we have these six things. And I'll say, well, give me like 48 of all of them. Give me 100 of them or whatever. I just have to fill my shelves. So the challenge has been filling the shelves with whatever I can get my hands on. So the customer, unfortunately, doesn't have as many choices, but we're working really hard to at least make sure they have stuff, something.
Are the customers understanding of that? How do they?
Yeah, they are. For the vast most part, they are. Some, I mean, especially now, because media is more like catching up with that fact. Like it's starting to be talked about that, like there was a lumber shortage earlier this year or last year. Different things have been hard to get. And I think people are starting to pick up on that now that it's trickling down to like everyday things, like certain games, certain puzzles. And they're just like more understanding, like, oh, I get it. It's just the way things are right now. But, you know, I don't know how long that patience is going to last. I guess we'll see.
I will say, too, like Pokemon is a perfect example of things that's hard to get. But now there's like a boost in the want for Pokemon because it's kind of a collectible thing, too. So you'll see when we get it in, it's like
it's gone.
Adults are even coming in and looking for it. And it's been crazy to see that happening, too. It used to be just mostly kids were into it.
It's like supply and demand. Right. You know, when people can't get something, the more they want it.
Knowing that you have an online component, you offer shipping, is there any new processes or anything like that that you implemented during the pandemic just because of everything was going on outside of the curbside pickup?
The only thing we really implemented was curbside. And that was because at first we were doing it over the phone, but it was kind of difficult. And then eventually we were able to implement it on the website. And then we asked people to give us like a 24-hour window. Like you place it on the website, we check it hourly or whatever. We're able to get it all set up for them and run it out to them when they get here. So that was the main thing that we implemented. And it worked out really well, especially through the holiday season, because a lot of people were still uneasy. Well, obviously before vaccines happened, people were super, you know, sketchy about risking anything, especially with their kids. So that was the largest component, I think, don't you think? And now it's kind of waned a little, but people are still using curbside, whether or not it has anything to do with the pandemic. Maybe they found it more convenient where they can go out and look at it, say, I'll take that. I'll be there tomorrow to pick it up, gift wrap it for me. And we gift wrap, have it ready. And when they pull up, they can either run in or we run it out to their car.
Well, I find I work a lot with the customers one-on-one. And I used to always like the ones that were regulars, I would be like their personal shopper for them. I think that's increased a lot because over the pandemic, they needed our eyes to see what was in the store. So we've trained all of our employees now that people may call and just say, hey, I have a three-year-old and I need a gift for a birthday for $25. Can you get it and wrap it? So we've been their eyes a lot now, and which I love. So being a small business, it's nice that we can be there for them as their personal shopper too. I think that's picked up a lot.
More word has been out
and like more parents are calling now and just on the run, like, hey, can I need a gift for this? Can you grab it for me? I don't care what it is. Send me a picture. So we've been really working one-on-one with each customer a little further than what we used to do.
So with curbside and kind of the personal shopping component, are those things that you're going to continue to offer as we quote unquote come out of the pandemic?
For sure. I would love it.
Yeah.
Especially going into Christmas when fall kicks in and people are back in school. Parents might be nervous about going out again and getting the kids out in the public. So we'll probably be personal shopping for them all throughout Christmas as well. And we're happy to do it.
Yeah. Do you charge extra for that service?
No, absolutely free. I think that's just what a small business is all about, kind of going a little above and beyond to give them that.
And I think all specialty toy stores are like that.
Right.
Yeah.
We also do the free gift wrap. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of things free to make their experience
convenient,
right,
and easy.
What have you learned about yourselves as business owners over the last 15, 16 months with everything that's happened?
Oh, I know number one, our family is key. We really had to stick together this year. Mm-hmm. And I will say we are so tight. We get along so well.
And we put the business first.
Really. Right.
It's like, we all got to come in here. We got to keep this thing going, stay open, serve our customers and do whatever we have to do to get through this storm. And that's what we did. I mean, and early on, it was very scary. Like, I was like, oh God, what's going
to
happen?
I mean, with our family, I have kids at home and stuff. I had to put that aside and know, you know, they're fine. I got to focus on the business, but the business was, we all like had to come together and figure it out as a family. And then our employees really became family with us at this hard time.
It's almost like it's a time that I don't think I'll ever forget. It's like everybody, it's like during the shutdown and then thereafter, that whole kind of year after, everybody kind of pulled together and really kind of looked out for each other. I think, I don't know about nationally, but at least in our little microcosm, mm-hmm. that's kind of how it felt. It's like, it's a time I think like in my life, I'll always look back and think, boy, that was an interesting time. And at the end of the day, it was a learning experience and a good time.
And actually, Jay, I have to really put it out there for our community.
Yeah.
It made me realize they have our back. Like our community, like they reached out to us. How can we keep you open? Can we tell anybody to come to you?
They're like, we can't find this or that. And like you probably find on Amazon. They're like, we don't want to Amazon. We want to buy from you. We want to support you guys. It was a lot of that. So that was everything.
With the convenience that Amazon offers, knowing that you had customers who were that loyal to you, how does that make you feel?
It's everything.
I just got chills when he was talking about it.
Yeah, like, it's just everything. And then
that's what we learned really in this pandemic. I mean, not only like our employees are so loyal and our families stuck together, but it's like that community, you can't beat it. Like I will forever be grateful to them. And it makes me just like when employees even, or the customers come in now, I mean, we all are like, thank you so much for coming in. It's almost like
our relationships got deeper.
Right.
You know, they got a lot deeper through this last year and relying on each other and the community. And also I should say our social media presence, we've been working on the consistency. We've had a full-time person doing social media for the last couple of years, and establishing that before the shutdown, that was our avenue of communication to all of our customers was through social media. So they knew we were going to be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 to 4. They knew like what we were doing. And then when we were able to like open up a little more, we were able to communicate that with them. And the response was like immediate. So that's an extremely important component was the social media.
Any future plans for the business, maybe expanding or, you know, new offerings that you now might bring in?
Right now, we're just trying to keep it going. it's been a lot of work just getting product. And I know that going into this fourth quarter this year, going into the Christmas season, it's going to be even harder and more difficult to get product to sell and keeping prices, because there's a concern that prices are going to spike because of shipping costs and all that kind of stuff. So that's my main concern at the moment, is just getting through the next holiday. And then hopefully the whole shipping thing, the worldwide shipping thing, will kind of start to mellow out a little bit, because right now it's like at a peak. So, because it's kind of weird. It's like there was such a backlog from being shut down for those couple months that we're still kind of screwed up from it.
And catching up.
Yeah, right. Catching up. And a lot of companies have product in Asia or in Europe that they're waiting to ship because the shipping costs have skyrocketed right now. So they're just waiting it out. So that makes product harder and harder to get. So our main concern right now is just basically getting enough product to sell through the Christmas season at reasonable prices, obviously, and then we'll see after that.
Now on the exciting side, we are doing play day events again. So as a thank you to our customers, we do events all the time, but with the shutdown,
in previous years,
with the shutdown, we haven't been able to do that. So we're having our first one this Saturday. It's outside. And in August, we're having another one. And I did book Santa coming up in November, the week after the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So I think we're going to start doing more play day events. Hopefully it'll keep continuing. We got everything's month by month.
Things are safe, yes. Yeah. But our customers have responded like
huge.
Huge. They're like so excited to have events again because it brings the community together. It's almost like having a party. Yeah. And then the kids get to do different, sometimes it's crafts. Sometimes we're going to have like pony rides and a petting zoo outside. And
Elsa and Anna are coming this weekend.
Yeah. So having things like that kind of brings the community here. And then all the parents talk to each other. They all kind of, so it's kind of like a community event
and free.
Yeah. We don't charge anything for it. So it's nice to be able to start doing that again. And hopefully we'll be able to continue that.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us for the Small Business Spotlight podcast. We'll be back next month with another episode. Thank you to our guests, Rick Claggett and Julie Everett from Whistle Stop Hobby and Toy. Thanks to Tim Simpson, who takes care of everything behind the scenes. You can find this and other Cranes Detroit Business podcasts by clicking on podcasts at the top of our website or by searching for Cranes Conversations wherever you get your podcasts. Take it easy.